And we are back, Black and a Half, episode number 113. I am one of your hosts, Silas Lindenstein.
And I'm the other one of your hosts, Samantha Run.
Hey, and thank you so much for joining us today. Today is a wonderful, another wonderful episode. We have comedian Jeff Horst on joining us. Jeff, say hi.
Hey, what's up?
Okay. Yeah, we have some long talks about with his. He is a vegan superstar, and we talk a bunch about food in the beginning, and we get to know Jeff, and we talk about hot topics as normal. What are we hitting on? About being the unemployment question, is getting more money to be unemployed bad? We ask. Our community bubbles in the future, and we talk about the amazing Nike ad, and then I got a movie review of Seriously Single on Netflix, and then we talk to Jeff as normal. You're a fun guy. Do you have a Instagram that people can follow, like since we're at the beginning or something?
Yeah, it's just at Jeff Horst, JeffHorste, at all social media. That's it.
You just nailed that one, huh?
Yeah.
No, Jeff is a funny guy.
Yeah, you got a unique enough last name. You can just have your name. You don't got to fight with nobody over it.
I know. Yours is short.
Like, yeah, that's true.
Just like my name, Lindenstein. They're like, okay, I'll never follow you. Okay, that's fine. I'll never, ever follow you. Well, awesome. We're glad you can be on here. Do you have a YouTube channel or anything? Or is
I do. Yeah. What's that? Jeff Horst on YouTube Jeff Horst. As well. All just right. Everything's at Jeff Horst. Jesus. YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram.
Okay. Well, check him out. I think you'll enjoy him on the episode. And if you just come back here to the beginning, if you don't remember, once you listen to him and you're like, I need more of Jeff in my life, Horst me. Okay.
Horse me. You might have to take that.
Yeah.
I don't know how yet.
I don't know. It's a spinoff of the show now, officially. And of course, hey, if you enjoy this episode, we encourage you to please share it with others, tell a friend to tell a friend. We would love you to go to iTunes and rate us, give us a nice 5-star rating. Really appreciate that. Help spread the word about this. And of course, if you want to be a big fan, you can become a Patreon member, like founding member Stefan Ward or Tara Widener. And you can go to patreon.com/blackandahalf. And I'm gonna make some more levels there, I think. We should have a really low level, like $1, and we should have like $1,000 one. You know what? I think we're not going big enough, Samantha.
Yeah, you know what? Shut the front door. Let's go for a sweet 10,000.
Yeah.
You guys.
You want to be a monthly $10,000 subscriber.
Just monthly,
We can do individual episodes just for you at 10,000.
Oh, yeah. We'll serenade you over the interwebs.
I want to see what happens in Patreon when I try to put in a $10,000 level. And they're like, you see it? Well, like, just takes one, right?
Right.
And also, you can support Black and a Half by supporting our third jobs. If you could, like, for instance, if you are in the Seattle, Washington area and looking to buy or sell a home, you can visit my website at silasgetsreal.com, and you can see Silas Lindenstein with Skyline Properties. And I can help you buy a house. Isn't that great? Or you can become a Patreon member. It's a little cheaper, but it's there. And I'm not the only one with wonderful life skills.
Oh, why, thank you, Silas. I too have wonderful life skills. If you are looking for assistance in empowering yourself in voice, body, and mind, to use performance skills to help you live a fuller life so you can do your performances, your interviews, your public speaking, whatever.
It's probably more important now than ever, Samantha, with people having to interview from Zoom.
Yeah, right? It's a really great skill set to have, and especially having the lessons over Zoom helps it to feel less awkward when you have to interview over Zoom. Yeah. So it's actually an added bonus right now. Yes. So you can always message me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com. I do post useful videos as well on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you want a topic to be discussed, I'm happy to post something up there for you as well. My podcast for that is coming out soon too.
Oh yeah. We'll announce that.
Performance-based.
Yeah,
yes.
We'll let you know.
Yeah.
We have a YouTube channel. We're now putting these episodes up on YouTube. So if you're listening to this, you probably don't care, I guess. But maybe you're watching the clip of the intro.
But there's all these visual things that happen. You guys, Jeff had a really awesome mug. And if you've seen me on these episodes, you see like I've always got some sort of cup or mug with me. And it's fun. You'll want to check it out. Okay.
If you're always wondering, like, I wonder what Silas looks like these days. Is he?
Oh yeah, he sounds so good.
Is he? Yeah, let's see what he looks like.
Yeah, check out the clothing we talk about for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the YouTube channel. Subscribe to there, and you can watch. And not only these, but as we do eventually get some, able to film some like all the short films that we've done are up there. Two of which Samantha are in, both award winning. And then, we're going to put other video content on that page besides the podcast. So one day we'll get to do these videos again until we come up. We kind of need to do a radio play or something. I don't know.
Yes.
Got to figure it out.
Something. You guys, if you want to see us do a radio play, please comment and tell us what to do.
Will you write one for us?
Okay.
If you want to see us do a radio play, please comment.
It needs to have Cinnabons in it.
Leave the script. let us.
It doesn't need Cinnabons.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so.
Yeah, we'll have more content up there. So check it out and subscribe. Until then, here's the episode. Think you're going to enjoy it. Episode number 113.
113.
Jeff Horst.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.
Oh yeah. Well, I just noticed we've got a couple things going on here. You don't eat out of a mug.
My mom got me this.
And you don't want to.
It says I don't eat anything that shits. And so as a vegan, my mom thought that was funny. And I think it's funny. I like it. I stand by it.
I don't think that's accurate though.
Well, I think it's great. It's great.
Only animals. Are we counting plant shit?
I think plants poop.
But I think it's like shit that looks like that.
I think
it's stuff that looks like that.
Yeah.
Like
Mr. Hankey.
Well, none of it looks like that.
Really?
Well, I mean, like with the eyeballs.
I mean, and you definitely don't want to eat any shit. So that's good to just.
You're a vegan? You're a vegan?
Yeah. Yeah.
No wonder you're skinny. actually most vegans I know are like the shittiest eaters.
Like, I'm not
like our buddy John Reviewer. He's been on a couple times here. I've been out with him. He eats horrible. He's always French fries. Those are vegan. They're like, that's shit, dude. You can't.
Do you go to places where he has vegan options though? Like, is that his only option sometimes?
He's always stopping to get fries. Every vegan I know is always grabbing fries somewhere.
I love fries. That's my closest vegan attribute right there.
There's definitely a lot more options out in LA for like whatever vegan options that exist, but there still are, at a lot of places you're only going to get fries sometimes. And even there, sometimes the fries aren't vegan, like in weird ways. Like I found out that McDonald's fries have like beef in it. And I'm like, what the hell are we doing?
I think they stopped.
Now you're just,
they stopped on that. Yeah. So because
it made, because nobody else did that in the world. So it just seems like you're just playing a cruel joke. I feel like that was just like somebody's buddy was vegan and he was like, let's just fuck Bob over. How about that?
I think a lot of people don't realize how much meat products is used in things.
Oh yeah.
How long did it take me till I knew that gelatin was from a cow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Jello? The most non-meat thing you can have.
It looks like it's water. It seems like it's clearly looks like it's made like in a lab. Like it doesn't look like you needed an animal to make Jello. It looks like you just needed a scientist.
Or just like fish extract is in things or something, like weird little things are in it. Like it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I was going to talk about what I was going to bring up was kind of related to this. So here's one thing I love about Facebook memories. Like I've noticed in Facebook memories, I will see like when I'm in the midst of a diet or something, I'll look back and see like, oh, 3 years ago I was doing a diet. Oh, also 5 years ago I was doing a diet, because of course I'm talking about it on Facebook. But it's weird, like, and this is, I've seen this multiple times during the year. So there's like definitely times of the year that I'm like, I feel fat, right? Because I'm like, I can't do. And my friend just started doing Whole 30 again yesterday. And I was looking and I saw a post from me saying day 23 of Whole 30. I'm like, oh, so this afternoon I started sort of a caveat again on it. As listeners here have heard me do it before, I am trying to do it like, you know, I don't know, a healthy way, but like I have, because we have food delivery service, HelloFresh that we do.
Okay.
They send you the stuff to put together for the meals. Because we waste a lot of food if we don't. So I found this is good portion control, everything. I'm like, oh, and I use everything. There's a little packaging waste, but I don't think it's as much waste as the food that we get and end up not eating or whatever. So I've said, look, I'm going to, these HelloFresh nights, I will not go Whole 30. I will, but I am going to try to alter it when I can to take some of it out. Like, I won't throw cheese extra on something. You know,
what's cheese extra?
Cheese is, it's the, like, it's what you pay for when you say extra cheese. It's cheese extra.
I didn't realize that, container. Like, how many times I had, like, I just ate Taco Bell. And I still love Taco Bell, even being vegan. Taco Bell's the easiest fast food for me to be vegan.
Yeah.
You just say, I just want beans instead of meat and no cheese. But there's so many times like you eat something out of the habit then you forget, like there's so many things that cheese makes this thing taste better that we forget how many things it doesn't make it taste better. Like there, like even before I stopped eating meat, like I came to the realization that there was a lot of times that adding cheese to a hamburger might take away from the flavor of the beef.
Certainly.
No. And there's so many times that I'm like, well, this just tastes like it doesn't taste as good now, but I, even though I like these things separately, I was just conditioned to thinking that cheese on everything made everything taste better. And it's not always true.
I totally
especially
agree.
Like, yeah,
no, I was never a cheeseburger guy growing up. I always wanted just the hamburger. Everyone else wanted cheeseburgers. And I was like, why do you want that on there? I think I didn't like the kind of cheese that was being put on burgers.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I was difference. In an American cheese
world.
Yeah, like, and I was like, that's disgusting. I don't want
that. I don't like them.
But I think, because I think I did, once people started using cheddar and making our own, I was like, oh well, this is something.
Yeah,
cheddar. Yeah. Okay. Swiss, I like Swiss now, but like as a kid I hated Swiss, and my dad always like wanted Swiss, like, yo, you're being fancy, you have Swiss, like, right? I don't know. So I know I will still lose weight because I've done Whole 30 twice. I will say the second time I added in beans, even though you're not supposed to, because that was honestly, that was harder than anything else, was not eating beans. Cause coming from California, That's a staple of what you eat, right? Like, I can't have noodles or beans. And that was the one that I was like, I won't give that up. But I'm like, I can do 30 and I need to lose weight, even though I just got a bunch of new clothes. So it's going to hurt me. But then I have to buy new clothes.
Not necessarily. Yeah. You know, with this, there might be some extra free time. You could learn how to tailor. Unless just size them down.
Solid point.
Or I replace it with muscle. Right?
That's right. You know? That's right.
Or you just wear clothes that are far too big.
Yeah.
And you just and you just walk around as that guy.
I did that to feel skinny for a long time, right?
Oh, wow.
I think I still do. I wear pants that are a little too big, so it makes me feel a little skinny, even though I know I'm not.
I feel like I grew up wearing clothes that wasn't like overly baggy to the point that you would just like stare at me, like what's wrong with me? But yeah. I didn't, but it's like, it clearly wasn't the best fit for me. And I have no idea. It was just slightly off, not off enough for people to correct me, which they should have, but enough to where like I grew into clothes that like I wore years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I was like, my brother was bigger than me and a few years older than me. So his hand-me-downs were just way off to where I was like in high school wearing Jabot. You know what I mean? And like just things that was like, this was his cool elementary school outfit. And I was like in the eighth grade, like this shirt fits me now, you know? and I don't know.
I started doing Stitch Fix. Do you know that? Samantha, I thought you'd be all over Stitch Fit. They send you clothes. You get a stylist, like they assign a stylist to you and they send you clothes. And then you know, you give feedback. You can send stuff back. They always charge you a $20 styling fee if you don't take anything. So that's the automatic. And then I've been getting like 5 pieces of clothing and they're way more expensive than I would ever buy, you know, but you're like, if you take all 5, you get a 10% discount. So there's an incentive to, you know, to try them. But I've had 2 shipments so far and everything fit perfect.
Wow.
And it looks good. So then the next one, and you can say like, hey, I have a special event coming up. So they'll like, oh, okay. Like they'll try to send you stuff to try to work for the special event. You can be specific and you can keep asking for the same stylist. I don't see how they can possibly remember you specifically because I'm like, to be big enough to make money, right? They have to have like 1,000 clients, right? That this one stylist is working for. I don't know.
Interesting.
But it makes it seem like they don't tell me, you know, your stylist is Javar, you know, like I don't. I'm like, is that your same stylist? And so I've been getting 2 and they're like nice clothing. And originally it started only for women. And then they did open up a men's section. Oh. And now
how much does it cost?
This is a Stitch Fix.
Oh, nice. I did notice you've been dressing a little better the last few episodes
But you didn't want to say anything?
I mean, you know, like, sometimes you just want to dress up a little.
I get it.
One, we weren't recording.
I thought that was why. Because I also, like, when we weren't recording, I was like, it's quarantine.
Yeah, your hair's a lot nicer now than it was.
Well, my hair's like this. My hair was good before, too. Let's not. Okay. But my hair was like this because for the audition. Otherwise, like, this whole, like, not having to be out as much, I'm loving just not having to straighten it. But I had to flat iron it for the thing.
Well, yeah. I did say specifically I wanted clothing. The reason I'm doing it is I need clothing for video, even now more than ever, because I was like, well, I need to be doing more commercial and more, you know, my day job's real estate. So I need to be doing real estate videos and I can't just always be wearing a Green Lantern shirt. Like, you know,
that's a good point. Cause that might be harder. That might be a little bit harder for guys to get certain deals.
And I can't get, you know, like you learn that if certain fabric patterns aren't good for camera,
that's true.
So you gotta be like, you know, I'm like, I want plain stuff, sort of plain. So I got, they've sent me mostly that's worked except for like one, but I was like, it's still good.
If you wear it And I'm going to just not go on the website. I'm going to take up time on the podcast. So you wear it.
Hey, if you, service.
If you wear it. Okay. So basically Stitch Fix or whatever,
yeah.
You say like, hey, this is me and my style. This is what I'm looking for. And then you could say how many pieces you want. And they send it to you and you try it on. And if you like it, you keep it, or you wear it like once and send it back.
You have 3 days to send it back. So,
but basically you can wear something different for each one of your videos and then send it back.
I mean, I could
trying to beat
you're
the
not,
system.
You're not supposed
if I
to,
got
but
it on one day, I could say no to everything. Yeah.
Right.
I could say no to everything and send it back as long as it doesn't look soiled.
Well, so how right? much, I mean, but about yeah. how much does it cost?
Well, I will say now I say the prices and I flip out, and Gretchen and so my wife and daughter are like, well, that's cheap. That's not,
well,
you know,
the men's like men, you I mean, like, most guys don't necessarily spend as much. Like
I think the cheapest shirt I've gotten is a $36 shirt or like a $40.
That's the cheapest shirt?
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I get, no, they're $7 is what I get.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's what a shirt costs, I thought.
Yeah. But yeah.
But maybe not a
shorts
a nice
at $40.
One
okay.
What's how come pants are $100 and shorts are nearly the same length? It's not really that much. All the hard work is already done, right? But
so you're mad that your shorts aren't as expensive as your pants?
What I'm saying is it doesn't make sense why the pants are like over.
And you're
double.
Overcharging on the pants.
You're for this much fabric, right? You're not. Yeah. Doing
but you get,
anything
you get
extra.
A lot more wear. I think you get. That's
you
probably
do.
Supply and demand.
You do. I don't know. It's a ripoff. Do, the short.
Here's
car,
the here's
big,
the thing
big
though.
Short is really ripping us off, big.
Man. And here's the thing. Why I was like, oh, how much is it? Because, well, you know, obviously I like a deal, but I get it for guys and you for your business and everything. You want it to look a certain way and the stylist and all that. I did a trip to Goodwill when we were allowed to go again, masked up.
Oh yeah.
And I got some, you know, bargain shopping stuff for it's like, okay, stuff for our podcast, I've got plenty, but like stuff for certain auditions or the coaching thing.
Oh, I just
like,
I have a hard time finding
some deals
out that fit the criteria of
it's hard. It's hard for guys. It,
which
I think it's harder
for
guys
for
though.
Guys should be easier. We're always,
well, I mean, at Goodwill, I feel like it'd be harder, like bargain shopping. Cause you guys aren't,
it's always 70 year old.
Dude,
clothing.
I got a brand new shirt with the tag still on it. $48 shirt. I spent $2.
Wow.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, that
or
is.
Five. But I mean, it was. And I went on the day where it happened to be the day where it was half off red tags. I got a $110 dress for $7.
Wow.
That's a good enough that's deal amazing. Where I feel like I should buy
I
that.
Would get a dress.
Right?
Yeah.
If I see it, I'm like, somebody's going to want this and I'm going to be the guy that has the deal.
Jeff, do you do films? Yeah. Do you act? Do you do any acting?
I try to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so like one thing I found is I had too much stuff with logos on it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like you have to go and no logos. We're nothing with the logo. And like,
yeah.
Or you have to tape it. And so I'm like, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's what I need. I need plain stuff, no logos, all that.
Yeah. And I felt weird lately where it's just, we're just at home. And then I just, for so long now that you're just dressing up just because you used all of your not dress up clothes.
Yeah.
It's like, so yeah. Then it's like, oh yeah, well, I guess I just have to wear a nice shirt today at home without going anywhere or do laundry.
Yeah.
And so it's those are the options. Ooh. I feel weird doing laundry just because I don't want to look nice. Seems like a weird reason to
so
avoid
funny.
Doing laundry.
That's
but you want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's the balance.
I think they have though. I gotta find it. But I heard that maybe they don't have it for guys. But I've heard it for women where they have clothes that you do borrow. Like if you don't want it, if you want to have this awesome wardrobe, but you don't want to have to buy everything and spend all that money, you can do a subscription thing where you rotate the clothes out. So as long as you're
really?
Wearing, yeah, that's why I was curious. I'm like, oh, so you might be interested in something like that.
Are they counting on you staining it so you can't return it?
Mm.
Like they're like. Okay.
You're like, what's the catch?
Oh, there's spaghetti sauce. No,
oh, well, they're,
you're buying
I mean, they're
going
to make a killing. You know what I mean? Like, they spend what? Like, even if it's a high end item, like a $500 skirt or something, right? Well, they get probably 100 women could wear that skirt while it's still good. Do you know what I mean? They're going to make so much money off of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the economics of that.
I don't know. Really, like when you said $500 skirt, I already in my head was like, holy shit. That is insane. What is it made out of? Is that some Lady Gaga red carpet thing? What skirt cost $500?
What would you rent $100 skirt for, Samantha? Like, how much would you pay? A $500 skirt, how much would you pay to rent it? Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I am all about.
You have a job.
Let me wear a $500 skirt when I'm in this film or on this commercial.
No, but like, what would be
regular life?
To rent.
Let me find. No.
If somebody was like, if you were haggling with them, what would be your rate at which to wear it for one day? You're like, I'm not gonna go over this price to wear this for one day, to rent this $500 skirt for one day. Like, would you pay $20 for a day to wear it?
Oh, if it was a special day and it was a really good skirt, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, like if it was, let's say it was like somebody's wedding or like a big birthday party, you know?
Yeah.
Something special. You then sure.
20?
Well, yeah, because, you know, sometimes you get a gown or something and you wear it once, maybe every couple of years or something, you know?
Someone's going to make a killing doing this. So I'm trying to figure out how many times.
If it hasn't started yet, you guys, this is my idea. I dreamt it. It was a fever dream.
Like, you'd only pay $20. You'd have to get, you know, you'd have to rent it out. Like,
no, me, because I'm not spending a lot of money on this high end fashion. Like, for people who want to, they'll be like, sure. And maybe they spend $100 a month to get a few items, but it's going to, you know,
are
what
they
I'm
the
saying?
Same people that go to Rent-A-Center? Is that what we're looking for?
I've never met these people in real life, but they have to exist because the company does.
I've been shocked.
They have to exist. I've never heard of any financial issues.
I've never seen anyone in there. I've never
seen Rent-A-Center?
Yeah. I just figured they're like, all mafia fronts.
Wait, no, Rent-A-Center. I feel like that used to be big a few years ago.
Oh, there's one in Linwood.
I just don't know who's renting their furniture.
Well,
you either are a rich person that has enough money to buy expensive furniture, or you just get free shit from your friends. Like, I don't even know anybody in between.
I can't even
remember. Well, I don't know. Maybe like maybe some single moms or something. Because I do remember somebody told me years ago that they did get their, like, they got a super cute, like, children's bed set or something from Rent-A-Center.
And just the pressure of still having the payments.
No, I know. But
for
like,
those things where you're like, just like, you can't sit on the couch yet because it's
rented,
not paid off. It's still rented.
Wait, when do you ever feel safe to sit on your couch without repercussions of damage?
Oh, man. I was like, those are the only couches that I fuck with.
Yeah, yeah.
Ones without repercussions. Yeah.
That's so true. I don't fuck with any of those white couches. You can't.
So speaking of repercussions, as we get into the hot topic segment. Okay. So as a lot of people on unemployment because of everything going on, COVID. So last week, the money ran out, the pandemic relief extra $600 a week. And right now there's a fight in Capitol Hill about it, whether they should be getting... people should be getting that $600 or not, because apparently some people, which has been debunked, not as many people as said, some people are making a little bit more money than they would be if they were working their regular job. And some people are mad about it. I thought everybody on my Facebook would think it was a bullshit problem, but
yeah,
like apparently I had a couple of people push back and say, well, no, you shouldn't be getting more on unemployment. Like, so what are your guys' thoughts on this? Do you get upset at the idea that someone's making more, theoretically making more?
I don't get upset at the idea of anybody. I think that it's almost laughable when anybody tries to measure the exact difficulty of a job and how much money that job pays. That's never been true in American history and world history. Was there ever an exact correlation of these people work harder so they get this much more?
Yeah.
That's never been true. But for some reason, people always want to use that as an excuse to either justify maybe themselves feeling bad for not making more money. I don't know where this is coming from, but to me, it's like, you know, yeah. The economy should have been in a good enough position to begin with where that shouldn't have been true. It's not their fault that unemployment's paying them more. It's maybe maybe they if there was a good enough job opportunities out there for them to begin with, if minimum wage would have been raised to begin with, like there's so many other problems with the economy that it seems to be weird to just blame the person for accepting the money. It seems like a weird blame.
Well, the idea that they're incentivized to not work right now.
I don't think there should be an incentive. I think there should be an incentive to stay home. That's good.
Like, they should pay all of us to stay home, right?
Yeah. Yeah, especially America. Maybe I don't think other countries maybe necessarily need such an incentive to not try to kill other people, but it seems like Americans do.
So oh my goodness, an incentive to not kill other people. I love that. What if every day you wear your mask out responsibly, you get a dollar?
There you go.
You get 10 cents. Or, right?
Yeah, because it's, you know, so many other people are upset at other people making more money, but I think they're not taking money from you.
Some people seem to just be upset just the idea that somebody is working at home and making more money than they would if they had their job.
It's like that's how most billionaires, just rich people, are in general. They got their money inherited. Yeah. What do you mean? All the Walton family is just the children of the guy that made Walmart. They didn't do anything. Yeah. They just had lucky parents. You know, how many examples of that do we have in this country?
Well, you were talking about earlier that there's the classism, I would think of saying, like, the whole minimum wage idea, the idea that a burger flipper shouldn't make more than 15 an hour. Like, they shouldn't make 15 an hour. I only make 16 or whatever. And I'm like, that always bothers me because I'm like, you know what? Yeah. That's hard work. Like,
yeah.
I'm white collar, right? I guess real estate is probably white collar. I don't know. Probably. Like, I feel like I'm paid because of my knowledge, right?
Yeah.
Not because of my labor. It's like, you're not like, it's hard because I'm like, I'm getting paid. I've told the fast food where I'm like, dude, you work way harder than I do. Like,
yeah,
you know, maybe they wouldn't be able to memorize the things that I've memorized, but I don't like think of that as, it's not hard to me because I memorize things quick, or, you know, I know it. It's not, but I'm like, you're over a grill all day. Like, I can just peace out and say, nah, I'm not even going to work today. Actually, I'm just going to go in my backyard because I'm self-employed. Mm-hmm. I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
I never get that. And then I told someone today, I'm like, why would it matter to me that someone is getting more money?
Yeah, like, it's not coming from you. Like, when people always bring up the example of nurses, they'd be like, well, nurses or not nurses, or like, what was it? Ambulance, people that worked in an ambulance, like people bring up all of these important jobs and say that these people shouldn't make less money than fast food workers. And I would just be like, sure, let's go with that premise. Sure. That's not the fast food worker's fault. It's like, any money that you get, you did not get because you stole it from me. You're not fixing the problem by just picking somebody, by being mad at the person that got a better situation. I think some people think that because you got a better situation, well, what about me? And I'm like, but yeah, isn't that sure, even we should fix your problem too.
Like, to decide that a fast food worker,
you could say that.
Like,
yeah.
Why can't, if somebody's happy, I remember watching this video of a guy talking about, you know what? I love my customers. He worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken and he was proud to be a cook there. And why would I take that away from him and say, well, no, really?
That's, I think a, I saw that. And he, that was, that job. Seemed genuine. Yeah. That seemed so genuine. No, it did, like, not seem,
it's
forced.
Not like you're important to, like, a nurse. You know, you should be, you should know.
You shouldn't be happy.
You should
exactly.
Not be happy.
Who are you to be
chicken.
Happy?
That's a stepping stone of a job. It's not meant to be for your happiness. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Look, I make decent money now. Am I happy doing it? Absolutely not. No, I want to be doing the job that pays me $100 a night to tell some jokes and drive for 4 hours. That's what I'd rather be doing if I could afford it. I'm not happy because I make money. No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. All good points. Yeah, that there is some classism there, and
Samantha,
just making it.
Are you classist? What are you talking?
Do you identify as classist? And
I mean, it's a big subject. I'm just, you know, I'm listening, and there's so many different points.
You've been a server, right? You've been a server.
Yes, I have.
Servers can make good money, but I always it's like I get mad because I'm actually, again, I'm like, I hate the tipping system for one. I'm very angry at that. So, because I'm like, well, you don't get paid by your employer a lot.
Yeah.
You're dependent upon people to step up.
Which doesn't that kind of just seem like you just shouldn't go in business if you don't have enough money to pay your employees? How, what type of loophole did you find where you're like, all right, here's the business. I'm going to make a business where everybody else has to pay my employees. I'd be like, well, I don't think you have enough money to go in business. You can open up a restaurant and be like, look, we don't have enough money for people. We'll just pay them $1.50 who gives a shit an hour, and then just hope that the rest of society feels obligated to fulfill what we're not paying them. That's just insane to me. Yeah. It's like, of course I'm going to tip the server, but I feel bad that they feel like they have to fucking sprint to my table or... You know what I mean? Like the amount of pressure that they must feel to be like, if I don't force a smile 24/7, then they're not going to pay me for, you know, enough to live. Is that's crazy to me.
Samantha, did you feel like you had to be, I don't know, as a server, did you like being paid by tips?
When it worked in my favor. I'm just going to be real. Yeah. If it was a day that I got great tips, I'm like, this is rocks. But if it's a day where you like, oh man, I'll never forget this. It was like a table from hell or something. I mean, it wasn't really, but it was, I was working at the Cheesecake Factory in Marina Del Rey.
Oh, stories already.
I got a party. I got a party of like 15 people. They took up my whole section. They came straggling in. And then they barely bought anything. And then they insisted I split the check for them, which I'm not obligated or supposed to do for that many people. Right.
They
insisted it was split.
Oh, wow.
And actually I was being nice about it. Cause I'm like, I think I had like one other table. So it's like, you know what, if I split it, maybe they'll actually give me a little extra. Right. Because they barely bought anything and I'm not obligated to do it. Oh no. And she even complained about that. She had a $2 tip, $2 like was her gratuity or something. And she even complained and wanted that. Oh, she was horrible. I wanted to wring her neck, but no, there were, I don't know. What I loved about serving is it did turn me into a little bit, it opened my eyes about food and experiencing food and wine and things like that and appreciation for it. Cause for a lot of years of my life, I think I was just kind of looking at food like fuel. Like I couldn't be bothered to eat. I mean, I would eat, but like it was just different. And my mom, she's a great cook, you know, so it's nothing against her cooking. It's just, as I got older, I started to evolve into the experience of it, how it's like one of life's great pleasures, having a good meal and just like, you know, your face lights up talking about it and that kind of thing. Yes.
My brother's told me that, like, he's like, you just got to think of it like it's fuel, man. You just got to. Mm. And I'm like, I don't understand that.
I used to
It's my friend. It's everything. It's my emotions.
I used to just view food and not even think about it, of like, I loved food, but not enough to learn anything about it. Just, it's there in front of me. I'll take it. Yes. I didn't care. I thought more about food when the options were taken away by going vegan. Then I actually appreciated more food because I had to learn how to cook some of it now. Yeah. Where before you could be like, do you want a chicken, blah, 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 blah. And I didn't have to know what I don't even have to know what you said. I'd be like, sure, I like chicken. So whatever the hell you just said, I'm sure I'd like. Like I didn't have to even know anything about food before. But now I like food way more that I have to actually learn about it.
Right.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
When I had way more options, I didn't care at all. I was just like, give me the food. No onions on this food. Sounds good. I'll eat this food. That was as far as I thought.
Okay. I'll take the onions.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. But what I hated always having to apologize for things that weren't my fault.
Sure.
That was, you get blamed. And if you don't apologize, then you don't get paid.
I don't even like apologizing for things that are my fault. So why am I going to?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I apologize so much. It was so ridiculous to the point, like after a long shift, I remember this was so ridiculous. I was walking back and I bumped into the wall and I turned to it. And I said, I'm sorry. Man, I need to get out of this job.
Oh my God. Hilarious.
You said it so, you probably said it so politely and respectfully too.
Yeah, you know.
You were already trying to take money off of their check. Like, you were already just like, oh God.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So, moving on, Dwayne Johnson announced that his
The Rock, right?
Yeah, The Rock.
Rock Johnson. Yeah, Rock, I just want to make Dwayne, sure.
Okay.
We're talking about the right.
Everyone knows Dwayne, right?
You don't know. Everybody knows. Okay. Everybody knows who he is.
He's shooting for an upcoming Netflix movie, Red Notice, is going to resume in September, but they're shooting it in a bubble. Much like the NBA, I think we talked about that last week. The NBA is just like together in Disney World, Disney property, and they're not going anywhere. It's just them all hanging out. They're going to do the same thing with this movie. It sounds like this is a couple movies are starting to do this. They all arrive a few weeks early, get their temperatures taken every couple days, and nobody is to see anybody else for the duration of the film.
Shoot, like they're on jury duty.
Yeah. What, like, I don't know how many jobs can do this.
Sure.
But I mean, is this a, like, I don't know, Samantha, you're as an actor, would you feel safer about, I've been trying to figure out when I'm going to feel okay going back on set for something. Oh, right.
Yeah. It depends on the protocol. I was like, sorry. But I was this close to booking a commercial last week.
Yo, okay.
I was this close. But the protocol for it, like I got put on, I think on hold.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Worse. Like I was that close. I got to do the callback and then got
I'd
put on hold.
Just not
I was
like, get it.
Exactly. But you know, depending on what it says, like on the breakdown and like the protocol and how many actors are going to be on set, you know, you're like. It depends on the details, but in the situation where let's say it's a big movie and you're all going to your little quarantine bubble. Yeah. I would feel pretty safe with that as long as nobody there was, you know, a horrible person.
Yeah.
But I think that would be pretty hard on your relationships, potentially depending on how far you're away and you can't have any like contact.
I told Gretchen, I was like, look, if I get cast in Lord of the Rings 4, we're all going. Like, we're just going to have to take the whole fan. Like, we'll got to quit.
I mean, that'd be amazing. Right. But honest, when you said that, what I thought not the Lord of the Ring things, that'd be awesome. And me too. Okay. But remind me of summer theater, like where you go away for the whole summer, three months. And you're only around the same people. And
it's the best and worst
so fun.
Thing. Yeah,
exactly. Like it was awesome when I was 22. Now it'd be a little bit weird to be away for that long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My roommate Richard. Were you on when Richard came on?
I don't think so.
We'd have been a different Richard Bunker, old roommate of mine. We did Summer Stock together, and that was 6 shows that we did. So it was like a full 8 weeks, and we were roommates.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
We were in like 5 of the 6 shows together, sometimes scenes. And at the end of it, it was like, dude, love you. I look forward to not seeing you for 2 weeks before school starts. Because, it's a lot of time together. It's a lot of time together. You need those outside sources. Plays, I don't know. Like, I don't know how we could do that in our, I don't know, comedy. Jeff, do you see any way?
I don't know. I don't know how to. I don't know. It's hard to picture it because I'm like, I'm sure things are just going to change, a little bit at a time. But it seems like especially with the Rock situation, having the bubble, like that's only working in a giant budget situation. Like you're creating. What was the Jim Carrey movie? Like that seems like a Truman Show type of a setup. Like if you're going to create a whole city, because I just imagine the more of a diva that celebrity is, the more that he's just like, I need a Starbucks inside my bubble. And it's like, well, that doesn't work out. Well, like, I want a Starbucks in my bubble or I'm not doing the next movie. So it's how eventually you're getting to a level of expense where it's like you're cutting into the profits of the movie itself,
right?
Which shouldn't be a problem for some of these big blockbusters, but for some of them, that might be a deal breaker. Like, it's interesting to see if it makes the world only do, there's no middle ground anymore.
Well,
like, if this is the way to do it, where it's just like there is no like indie film, it's just all or nothing.
There's indie films shooting now in Washington, which I'm not. I've like, you know, I don't want to be the troublemaker anymore because I'm trying to sell houses. But like, I was like, you know what? 5 years ago, I would have been screaming on this board right now. Been like, are you fucking out of your mind? You so stupid. You can't do a film. Just go play a video game for a year. You know?
Do we know how they're doing their films? Yeah. Hey, we got Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, you need to.
We got it. I'm really bad at it. I played it for like 5 minutes and I'm like, wow, driving this is way harder than it looks.
Which one did you get, Samantha? That does not feel like a you kind of game.
No.
It's very violent. Are you just driving around?
I was.
But
the thing is, because it's the video game, then the guy had like, I think he had a baseball bat. So I'm like, why don't I just hit this person? Like, why not? It's a video game. They weren't doing it. I just hit them.
And that's how
they all like attacked my character and shot him. Like, what'd they do that for? Real world consequences. This is a video game.
See,
I imagine Samantha be driving around, just checking out the city and stopping at every single stoplight. Waiting for her turn.
Starbucks. I demand Starbucks.
They need to have some Karen downloadable content for that, right? There's like a Karen. It's just like calling people on your characters. That'd be great.
Just to be clear, that is not my avatar.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's the thing. Like, I don't care. Like, anyone says they have protocols right now as an indie film. I'm like, what? Hand sanitizer? Is that what it is? You can't, I don't like, what are you going to do? No, there's no protocol. You're just, this is a Hail Mary. You're just hoping nobody catches it. Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's all it is. Like, cause you can't have extras. Like, in June, I was asked, hey, do you want to come do an extra work by my agent? And I said, extra work? No, that means there's too many people. Cause there's an extra. No, if you said, hey, you want to come do a solo thing where the sound guy is going to be 50 yards away from you? I'm like, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
You guys. Sorry. You first.
Oh, I was just going to say that of doing this, the audience work of like for on game shows and stuff like that and getting paid just to be a person in the background. I got an email for that recently where they were doing some stand up in LA where they were like, you're going to get tested. And I'm just like adding all this up and I'm like, is this worth it for you? In my head, I'm like, man, there's so much money in the world where you're like, we're going to pay for all the people to be tested.
Wow.
And I don't know what their level of testing is going to be. I don't know if it's just like, don't got a fever, cross your fingers. I have no idea. But I do think that there's some level of people that are like, as long as this is legally okay, then you can't get mad at me. So I'm not the bad guy for going along with the law, even though I know in my head that this can't be safe, but it's the law and I'm obeying the law. So I think there's so many people that they don't want to fall behind money-wise from their company. So whether it's an indie film or whether it's whatever, where they're like, look, I'm not the bad guy that's disobeying the law. I'm still wearing a mask. I'm still telling people to stay away.
Yeah, we're putting a Q-tip up their nose, right? We're taking it.
I didn't think you were gonna say nose.
We are throwing that in there. We are throwing that in the trash. We're not actually testing it, but they feel good, you know.
Yeah, like, they feel like something.
Oh yeah, they're testing me. Uh-huh. Sure they are.
Well, they could do like, I'm still needing this hamster ball humans, you know. It's my next blockbuster. We can each be on set. We have our whole hamster balls. We just pedal around next to each other. You know,
you need to
get in the water. No problem. Paddle, paddle.
I was trying to figure out how I could do a scene with Samantha. I was trying to picture like something. What could we do to make it look like we're in a conversation, but we're actually shooting at our own, our own homes.
Like right now?
I mean, no, but they make it look like we're obviously not in the same house now. You're in Emerald City right now.
Well, you said shooting at our own homes.
You get the same colored shower curtain or something. Yeah, something like you have to have something.
Yeah. We could buy that. Did you see they have these like upgrade your Zoom meetings with Zoom for professionals? It's like $20 and you get like 600 stock photo backdrops. Yeah, I saw it on CNN. It's pretty cool.
I'm gonna look that up.
So we could get the same backdrop. We could get the same backdrop and do that. Yeah, you too. Totally, I mean, you could be in on this, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's got like a white screen there. We can just put him in somewhere. Yeah. Okay. So next topic, the Nike ad. Did y'all see did you watch it?
Yeah.
So what was it? They said something like 400 hours of footage.
Was it more than that? I thought it was 4,000. Yeah, it's 4,000. Yeah.
4,000. Like, I thought it was a great ad, but I didn't really think about. I was wondering, like, how long did it take them to find a scene to match? I don't know how much. Mm-hmm. Modern. So if you haven't seen it, Nike has this wonderful ad showing it's a powerful message about COVID-19, the Black Lives Matter movement. What's the campaign called? We'll get through it. What? Just us? Boy, it's not that good of an ad, I guess.
I thought it was
you can't end sports.
You can't stop us. You can't stop us. That's right.
You can't stop us. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, because it said sports and then it said us.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes more sense.
I was surprised. I was like, that's a cool commercial. And then I saw other people posting about it and they're like, I'm crying right now. Did you get emotional over it? Or is it is it a sports emotion? Is that what it is? Like, I didn't cry. I was like, that's a cool ad.
I am a crier. I cry all the time. I didn't cry about this though. Like, I'm not like, I get if somebody else did and they felt, you know, closer to it, you know, that's cool. But for me, I was just really impressed. My girlfriend, besides being a comedian, she also like works in advertising, like for, she's been close to advertising a lot, being an audio engineer. Sweet.
Okay.
And so her Facebook feed just looks different than mine of like the friends, you know, type of a thing. So like everybody on her Facebook was sharing that commercial that like she knew. She just, so it was interesting seeing it from their perspective of as well of like seeing how difficult that must have been from the people that's what they do is they edit stuff. And even to them, they're like, yeah, that would have taken a lot of, that would have taken a long time to put that together. It is cool when you can see a commercial of what commercials can be. And then you see somebody that's just like, yogurt tastes good, buy it. And you're like, you're not even trying.
Yeah.
You see what Nike's out there doing?
Oh yeah. You know, I think too, Silas, that it would have been different if I just stumbled upon the commercial myself and just like watched and experienced it, because I'd been seeing everybody saying like, most amazing commercial ever. Yeah. I'm crying. No, you're crying. No, you're the, so, you know, again, I couldn't help watching it. Like, you want to make me cry? It's got to sneak up on me naturally.
I saw it before anyone. I'd say it was shared a couple times, but nobody had said, I didn't see anybody saying crying. Cause I do know that when people mention something about crying, I'm like,
you're looking for it.
Try it. I've got no heart. Oh my God. That means so much.
And I have cried at commercials before. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ever since I had a daughter. Like, yeah.
Oh, man. There was a Super Bowl.
Commercials.
Oh, man. I can't remember it now. I wish I could remember it. There was a Super Bowl commercial that made me cry, the last Super Bowl, that it was like, yeah, it can do it. Like a movie.
I'd love to see that. Like, though, like when they show all the pictures of people like cheering for games, like these crowds of Green Bay Packers. I'd love to see the pit camera where they all just kind of like start wiping it because of the Nike. Oh,
that's so funny. Yeah.
Who's got the nachos? Somebody of course had to make a remark online about, I shared it and they're like, yeah, I guess, I just wish they would stop, using slave prison labor to make the sneakers. And I was like, I wish we would too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about you, but like, I mean, I hate to feel this way now, but actually since because of the documentary 13 and I'm much more aware of the slave labor that we use currently in our own country, it's made me a little more, it's oddly made me a little less sensitive to other countries. Cause I was like, cause they're like, well, we're using people over there. I'm like, we're fucking using people here. How about we take care of that? Cause it's like, yeah, of course we are. Yeah. We're using 13 cents there. We're not even paying this, the legalized slavery system we created here to make our, you know, our hand sanitizer. Are you kidding me? Like Cuomo is bragging about it. Like, oh, we got these guys. They're making we got the prisons. They're making the hand sanitizer for us. You know, they're licensed to do all these soap products. I'm like,
you're like, you weren't supposed to say that part out loud.
Wait, you mean
why did you just
the slaves that you got? Is that what you mean? Oh no, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I should be sensitive to justice's injustice everywhere in the world, but I'm like, also, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, they can. They're a shitty company. They have some shitty ethics. So's Apple. Apple has some shitty things, and I have their phone because it's the best phone in my view of the world. It's hard. There's nothing pure anymore.
It is hard.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. There's nothing pure.
I mean, all I can
do it's hard to mess. Yeah.
We can shout about it.
You do what you can, but to overly be critical. Well, and who's to say overly? If somebody else has a passion about something, go ahead. But it's just interesting to me when it's like you can't remove yourself from all things in the world that contribute to harm. It's not just don't go to Starbucks or Walmart and you're a good person. Like there's every company has some evil. Yeah. Every rich corporation has somebody that has ill intentions there. Like, and the same thing with Nike, where it's just like, you know, but
I don't shop at Walmart, right? But I do go to Target, and I realize they probably do the same freaking thing, but I've just, I've drawn a line into this one and say, I can protest that one. I can't protest all of them because I still need to get cheap t-shirts.
You know,
Well, yeah, I was thinking, isn't that the other thing too? What it is that people can afford to protest?
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, in terms of, the stores that you say, I'm not going to go there. Well, cause I can afford to go here instead.
Yeah, exactly. And so like with the Nike ad, I can imagine that some people would still be a little bit critical because they're like, but they still do bad things. But then it's like, what person is perfect, let alone a corporation? Yeah. You know how much money Nike is? And also when people say stuff like that, I'm like, do you think Nike is just three dudes? Like, what do you think Nike is? Like, it's not like, so to say that like they're evil is to like, who is they? I mean, do you know how many people they is? Like this commercial, and the people that are using slave labor are two entirely different, you know, things. Sure, the profit might go back to the same company at the end of the day. You could say that. But the person that made that commercial isn't the person over, you know, that's charging people five cents to make clothes. The
marketing person is trying, you know, if they're like, you know, this is important. Black Lives Matter is an important message to them. And they can control that. That's something they can control, is trying to get the good messaging out there. Not even necessarily for Nike, but because it's important. Unfortunately, the parent company, you know, has some things that you can hopefully be like, well, hopefully this is gonna change. And it's even a complex issue. I mean, that's hard. Sometimes I'm a centrist on things. I'm like, things are complex. They're not. It's not easy. Like it's not.
But I can see that.
Yeah, it's like men's fashion.
That's right. It's not easy.
It's not easy.
You should do comedy, really. Samantha's callbacks are just she's got a good one. It's always okay. It's not easy. Not easy being green. Okay, so on to the movie corner, where I review something streaming each week. Try to get one or two. We're actually recording this a day early, so I wasn't able to watch a second one. But I get to review for you the movie Seriously Single, now just dropped on Netflix. It is a South African film, and I was very excited to see a romantic comedy that is all black. It's an all black cast. I was excited. The only downside is it's a whopping piece of shit of a movie. It is a horrible, horrible film. It is badly acted, it is horribly written, it is predictable beyond anything. Like, here's the con, like, and I want to say, like, I recognize it's a South Africa. It's a growing film industry there, right? They're still building it. It was beautifully, like, I mean, beautifully shot. It was a nice, was good artistic direction, right? I like the colors that they used. I like the color choices. Good palette. That was a good, you know, I can see the people, the filmmakers knew what they were doing as far as the technical aspects of it. It's just the script wasn't there. And I don't know how many South African romantic comedies there are, to be honest. This is my my first foyer, and I was watching it and going, this isn't funny, they're overacting completely. And I was like, you know, I think I remember hearing something about in other countries more over the top acting is more the style, and there's more, they find it a lot funnier than we might hear, where it's just, you know, like I can tell you're acting, you know, like, and so I was trying to be like a little forgiving, like, okay, culturally, maybe this is funnier, or maybe there could be jokes in here. I have no idea that were even meant to be funny, I guess. But it was, you know, it followed this single woman, and she becomes single. She gets dumped and they send all of her boxes. She gets broken up with, and that afternoon, the guy sends all of the clothes, like boxes up all her stuff and sends it to her office. And she's a big social media manager, and she thought she was going to be like about to be proposed to, and this was a surprise thing. And she got dumped in front of everybody on a, there's like this fake Instagram that she's on, but it's like Instapics or whatever. And then it's her, like, she meets some other guy, and she's like kind of falls for him, and then he dumps her, and it turns out he was getting married and she didn't know about this. And I mean, there's a couple cute things that I could have seen a scene like, oh, I could see how someone could have written this different and it would have been amusing. You know, some relationship stuff. I will still say like, it was nice seeing a bad movie film full of black people rather than just a bad film full of white people. That was the,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know that everybody gets this film as a suggestion on Netflix, because I'm purposely adding all these films that are just releasing so that I can watch them to review. So I don't think it's, I don't, and also I also get weird foreign films that are, and series that are suggested to me because of things I've watched that I know other people don't get suggested. So you may not see that pop up on your screen, but if you do, give it a hard pass. I gave it a D on my, on my rating system. So yeah, they're not all winners. Next week, I'm hoping to review the Tom Hanks new film that's out on Apple TV. Cause I just got,
what's that
for
one?
Year of that. It's, I want to say Garfield, but it's not. Tom Hanks.
Was it Cat in the Hat?
Cat in the Hat.
You said you thought it was Garfield, so I'm thinking of like other famous.
Yeah, yeah. <that'd>...
Greyhound. You know what? They start with a G.
Yeah.
Both had an R in it.
Sure.
Sure. Same syllables.
So is it like the bus or the dog?
It's
or the drink.
It's a war. So I think it's a World War II. film.
Yeah, so kind of a combination of all three. Okay.
Yeah. So it's on Apple TV, which not everyone's getting, but I just bought a new iPhone a month ago, and I didn't know that that they offered me a free year of Apple TV.
A year?
Yeah. Which,
wow.
So I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. I'll watch this. Watch it on my computer. So I can't get it on my TV, but you know, because that'll cost me $100 to buy an Apple TV, and that's called being a sucker, right? Give me the free $4.99 a month service.
That's right. I mean, you could buy yourself two t-shirts for that price.
Exactly. I'm not going to spend that kind of money. Skip that movie. But who I don't want to skip is our guest today, Jeff Horst. Right? You know what? One of the reasons I wanted to have you on for a while, because when the quarantine, we were going about a month in, I saw that you were getting videos up, like you were creating videos, getting content up there. Right. And I was like, that's mad respect, because so many people, quarantine happened and they're just like, well, I guess I'm just not going to do anything, or I'm going to try to, I don't know what I'm going to do. But you were like out there putting up content, seemed to be creating theme shows or something. Like, you, what's the secret? Is it being driven, or are you bored? What happened?
Veganism. Maybe all three.
you can't spend your day smoking meat, so.
I just saw that. Well, I think there was a lot of things that I wanted to do that I felt like I made excuses for not having the time for, when I probably had the time to do it before. But with the excuse kind of being gone now, I you always hear from people, especially in comedy, that you need to have something other than just stand up. And I always felt like I didn't have a thing other than that. You know, I didn't put enough work into trying to find acting opportunities or voiceover opportunities or anything else, or script writing. Like, I would just put a little bit of effort into those things. But I finally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn how to edit. I'm going to put the time and energy into learning how to do it. And then I can, you know, I can put out my own stuff without relying on other people so much. So, and then I just started to enjoy doing it. Then I realized I like to edit videos. And nice. I ended up just finding like a new hobby out of it, instead, as well as there being, you know, obviously helping myself put out more content as well. But it just, you know, kind of just all fell into, and there was more of an audience at that time than there ever was, you know, especially at the beginning of quarantine. Was there was never a time in history where so many people just were being paid to be at home and be on social media. Yeah. So it was like, this was the prime time. It kind of felt like that, like in history, or I was like, you know, that was the same time that my, my social media numbers kind of just went up as well. So it, a lot of things kind of just fell into place.
Okay. Well, good.
Yeah.
Now, Samantha?
No, I'm just like, good for you, dude. Okay. Because that's awesome. That, like I said, at the beginning of quarantine, man, so that's what I was thinking. When I play back, like, you know, when we were towards the beginning of quarantine, I'm like, oh, hell no, I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to not panic. Just got to breathe every day. Like, you know, I was not on that motivation kick. Yeah. It took a minute for that to kick in. So,
No, it took a week, especially at the beginning of the protests and things like that, where it was like just all of the negative emotions that exist just swirling around in my body of like, oh man, the world's a terrible place.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of those feelings. But then I think it was also of the amount of things that I wanted to do, and hearing how much of like the idea of like, you know, how much silence has been towards some of the issues that matter. Then I'm like, I'm being paid to, you know, as a white man, I can't just be like, things are hard, I'm in a bad mood. It's like, things could be a lot worse than being a white man being paid to live in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So I can, from the government. So it's like, okay, I can, you know, I did have some time though, where it was like, this is awful. And it didn't feel like I could do anything.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure a lot of people felt like that, where they were just watching TV, like, there's not enough cute animal videos that can change this, change this bad mood that some of us were in.
Now I met you in New York City, doing the, something devil.
I think the year that I met you, I wasn't even doing it. My girlfriend Esther was in, Laughing Devil in New York. Okay. So I was just hanging out that year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I ended up doing it years later, but okay. I think that the year that I met you, I was just hanging out in New York with her when she was doing the festival.
But you had already been a stand-up there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not in New York, but I was already a stand-up. Yeah.
And where did you start doing comedy?
I started in Detroit.
Detroit?
Ooh, yep. Okay. Yep. Started in Detroit, and then I moved out to LA about a year and a half ago, beginning of, not this year, but the year before that.
When you, are you from Detroit then?
Mm-hmm.
Originally?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
were you a class clown? Did it always?
I was not.
No,
I was funny. The people that sat next to me thought that I was funny, and that was as far as I was comfortable letting the jokes travel. I didn't, you know, I was the type of kid that, like, I failed speech, not because I just refused to give the speeches. I just was like, and when you think back in retrospect, it's so crazy that you're just like, everybody was self-conscious, so nobody cared. But in your head, you're like, I don't know, there's this fear of what other people think about you. And it's like, it's not until you do stand up for some time that you're like, oh no, everybody's only worried, and everybody's too self-centered to really give a shit of you fumbling over a few words in a speech. But yeah, but back in high school, yeah, I was way more nervous in just talking in front of large groups or being funny to anybody other than whoever was sitting next to me.
You were like the writer.
Yeah, I think it started that way. For definitely, it started more of being the writer type of a person, because I didn't take any acting classes or do theater or any of that, you know. And I think back of like, man, that would have been cool to have some more of a background into those things that at the time I didn't put any thought or energy into.
When did you first discover stand-up?
I discovered stand-up. I've been doing it for about 10 years now. So it was a friend of mine. So I was 22. It was a friend of mine who I went to college in right outside of Ann Arbor in Ypsilanti, Michigan, went to Eastern Michigan. And a friend of mine worked at a place called Big Ten Burrito. And it there's also a Big Ten Burrito like cantina. So there was like, it was like a Mexican restaurant bar type of setup. And it was the perfect place to start stand up because it was so new. Like the people running it, normally the people running the show, at least, they're not new at stand up.
Right.
They're not brand new. The people running the open mic had no idea what they were doing. So there was no way for me to feel like I didn't belong.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this is just a shit show for everybody. Like there was no way to stand out.
Did you know it was a shit show?
And not at the time, not until like in retrospect. That was just what I thought. I never went to an open mic before. So that was what I just was like. Nobody gave me a light. I was just like, I didn't think of when this would end. And I was too nervous to ask the questions of how long do I do? I did like 20 minutes the first time that I did an open mic because I just was like, they'll tell me when to stop talking. And they never told me to stop talking.
20 minutes.
I was just rambling.
Did you have that many jokes written down or did you just babble?
I had that many thoughts of what I thought a joke could be written down. Like I definitely wrote out a whole bunch of ideas. And they weren't, you know, some of them were definitely not like well thought out jokes. They were like parts of stories that none of it made it to, you know, to today's set at all. I don't know how long any of those jokes made it on, but or how long they went on for. But it was like it was probably like 30 people there and like 15 were friends and family and just, you know, college friends that lived in the area that were like, that's crazy, Jeff, that Jeff's gonna I play beer pong with that guy. He's gonna tell some jokes. That's crazy. Like that was about half of the audience. It was really set up for success.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody, yeah.
And was there a moment that you started taking it seriously? Like
yeah. I'd say about a year into it, I admitted to myself that I had just as good of a chance at making money doing stand-up as anything else because I kept on changing my major. I had no idea. So I was the type of person that went to college because I felt like that's what you have to do to check the adult box in life is you say you go to, but I changed my major 100 times. I had no idea what I wanted to go for. I was just wasting my money for that. And I had no other like major skills to be excited to try. And so then I just met so many other comedians that was like, so wait, all right, you have a decent life. You got a wife and a house and a dog. I don't know. You know what I mean? And I'm like, and you're just doing occasional road gigs, you know, like
that's a Midwestern
You've done it for 15 years and this is what your life is. And it's like, okay, like the bar, the lowest bar for somebody that put effort into it seemed acceptable to me. Okay. So I was like, I will take, and I definitely grew up with the type of parents where like my dad was the type of person where my dad was like, look, I'm poor and I hate my job. So if you want to be poor and not hate your job, knock yourself out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I definitely had an accepted family towards the idea of doing stand-up that even when I started viewing it as only a hobby, I still did it on a regular enough basis partially because my family didn't think it was the craziest thing to do. They were like, They might have thought it was weird that I was doing it, but they didn't reject it. You know what I mean? They thought that it was cool that I was trying something.
I don't even know that my family understands how weird it is. Right?
Yeah.
If I think back, it is kind of a weird.
Oh yeah,
it's a pretty really weird profession.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It makes more sense to me, like meeting people who are they're a stand-up comic, but they're a writer on a show. I'm like, that I get. Like, you just do stand-up? How? How do you do it, man? It's a little weird. You just go into you've given up every Friday and Saturday night of your life. You know, and hopefully you're giving up holiday parties so that you can be at other holiday parties. Right?
I don't know. Those are like server hours.
They are. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly
it's like,
than being
so I, that part to me doesn't seem that weird. I mean, if you're like really enjoying your job.
Yeah. I think you're, but I think like, I guess I've been lucky enough that I never get that many holiday gigs. I don't get the well-paid gigs, but you know, sometimes I'm like, I neglected a lot of friendships and a lot of parties. Several years for stand up. And when I did recently, like make an effort to go back to them and like, I miss getting to these.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I've been to a couple and I've been like, I could do stand up some more. I could go.
That trade off is so hard. If you have friends that aren't doing the same, like that aren't on the same schedule with you. Friends that aren't performers and it's hard because you get busy and then sometimes they feel slighted and it's like, no, I would have loved to spend time with you, but I can't, like, I just, you know, that's so, I mean, that part is kind of hard.
And I'm really lucky in my relationship that like, I don't know how so many people, the most common thing is people say that they could never date a comedian. Or as a comedian, you hear people saying that they could never date a comedian. I could never date a non-comedian. I could never date a person that I even have to spend 5 seconds of my energy in my brain explaining to you that a shitty open mic is more important than meeting your parents or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's what my job is. And to you, it's not a job. So I would just feel belittled the entire time. I don't know how people that are comedians date somebody that's not a comedian. Like, to me, that has to be such an outstanding person to have the patience to understand. Because like you said, like comedy's so weird. It's so weird. And there's so many bad experiences that you have to go through just to meet people. Like you're like, no, the open mic's terrible. Nobody's going to listen, but I'm not going to make money and I still have to go. How do you explain that to a regular person? No idea how you would explain that to a normal.
My wife is a saint. I will say that. I think if
she's
they do amazing. Understand performance, like if they understand the work of an actor, they understand that those, you know, they already get that your evenings are taken up. And
So they have an understanding. They came into it with an understanding.
Time, I am sometimes at these open mics and going, I literally gave sex up for this.
Yeah, I was always wondering why you started your set off that way. Dude, I don't think I've ever heard. Yeah, that'd be funny.
Like,
seriously,
like I could, there's so many normal things I could, like, I've been out these nights and go, I could, I could be doing I could be having a taco at home right now.
Yeah.
I could be watching a new movie.
I thought you were doing a different joke. What's going on here? You just did the same, like, recycled the same one.
We're, we, like, there's so many things, like I can't believe I miss for it, but I, like, I did miss a lot of things as an actor, where I'm like, you know, a play is goes on for 3 to 4 weeks, maybe 4 weekends, and I'm missing everything for those weekends. And I think I got, you know, I don't know, I think, and this wife in particular knows, she knows that sometimes I go to these and I'm like, she knows, like, I'm not thrilled to be there. Right.
Okay.
I'm putting my time in, that I'm like,
just,
and sometimes she said, you need to go. You do need to go, because also it's how you make money. It did help that for a year I was making all my half of rent was coming through comedy and entertainment.
I mean, that's amazing.
Right. And when you do that, when you start actually bringing in money for it, a normal can understand, like, well
okay, normal,
but whatever, whatever it takes.
Well, and that is hard to, and that, yeah, that can be hard to explain to people who aren't artists too, because so much of our jobs require us to do free things in order to get paid things. And that's part of the process. And I've definitely had moments of having to explain it to certain people in my life of, you know, just saying, like, hey, you think, like, Dave Chappelle or Chris Rock or any one of these favorite comedians, you think they started out getting paid all of the time? Like, I mean, I'm not saying I would get to that level. That'd be a miracle. But, but you know, it's just nobody gets it handed to them. No comedian, no comedian. I, at least that's how I feel. I don't feel like I've ever seen a comedian get it handed to them. That is one thing I appreciate about comedy. Mm-hmm. It's not like I always agree with whoever is getting, like, whoever people say is the best or this or that. We all have our own opinions and styles, but I don't think I've ever seen a comedian get someplace that didn't have to put work in.
Yeah. You could whether or not you even like what they have to say is, like, but still, in order for them to have the amount of time to fill that position in the show, they still had to show up X amount of times. Where there are a lot of jobs that exist out there that's like if you look the right part, who cares?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep.
And now you're in LA. What brought you to LA? Why not take over the Midwest comedy market?
I got tired of the winter. Winter sucks.
Oh yeah.
And not a fan. And so that was kind of, you know, I felt like I wanted to move, because I got some level of good things that happened. I got a couple of Comedy Central credits. And so then I was like, I might as well take it as far as I can. And
what would you get for Comedy Central credits?
There was a couple shows that were produced by Kevin Hart. So there was a show called Heart of the City.
Yeah.
There was Heart of the City. And I did the Detroit episode of Heart of the City. And then from that, they had a couple seasons of a half hour special that was in the same idea of Heart of the City, where it was like a short one-on-one interview with Kevin Hart, and then you do the half hour. So just the first couple minutes of the half hour special was an interview with Kevin Hart. So so I got to do both of those within like a year of each other. And then the producers of the show were out in LA. So it's like any chance of whatever, it would be, it would feel less like starting over for me to do comedy in LA than to do it in New York, because more of my comedy friends, my best comedy friends and my comedy friends that were in better position for us to, you know, all help each other with what we could, would be my comedy friends in LA. So that, on top of the fact that the weather was better than New York, and my brain doesn't understand directions in any form. And in LA, you can just use your phone and it tells you how to get there.
Yeah.
And in New York, at some point, no matter what anybody tells you, they're a dirty liar, your brain has to take over. At some point you're going to be like, well, everybody knows on Friday the G train isn't going to go south to the blah, blah, blah after 10 o'clock. And then you're going to be in the wrong place for 3 hours in the cold. And at least that's what happened to me. Like every time I went to New York. So there was a lot of things that went in together and for it to come. And and then another comedian, Trevor Smith is my roommate, and he moved out here like, you know, 8 years ago or something, like kind of like right towards the beginning of me doing comedy. And so it just worked out financially as well, because then it's a 2-bedroom. You can split 3 ways. Me and my girlfriend taking 1 bedroom, him taking the other. So we got a good deal.
And little did you know, you get to see each other all the time.
Yeah. Who knew that?
Hey, are you an actor too? Do you like to, are you dabbling in it? Or are you trying?
I'm dabbling in it. You know, I have like a commercial agent, I guess you could say. Yeah. I get those weird, the auditions are even weirder now because they're mainly just auditioning your space. So I'm like, where should I put the pillows that make the commercial look better? Because they're film, the commercial might be your footage from your phone, like this might at your place.
Yeah.
And so that's just so weird to me where it's like, that wasn't part of the equation at all.
Yeah,
that wasn't.
Yeah,
that wasn't part of this. Now I got it. Now my off white wall isn't like, I don't know. We don't have a living room table. That's not a furniture item that we own. So have it's you like you get it. You gotta go.
I tried to beat her to that.
And you get and I read like an audition where it's just like, oh, so I guess I'll try this. I'm not going to get it though. The requirement of it was, you know, just go to your dining room table. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. I don't have that.
You don't know what it
is. So I don't have that. It'll be my kitchen counter.
You're like, vegans have a different style.
I just blame it on something else.
Yeah.
An interesting thing how do you have a lot of requirements on an actor? Really?
Yeah.
I think I had one like 2 weeks ago. I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago that I had to say, like, I'm sorry. I'd love to do it, but I can't because it was for an executive businesswoman type and they wanted to shoot it in your home office. And I'm like, great. My executive businesswoman just also happens to be a gamer. Is that going to work out for you? It's like, it doesn't. It totally doesn't match. So what are you going to do?
They're like, when you say home office, will bathroom do? What do you mean? Like, what's, I just got to put the right curtain behind me? I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's tough.
As we're running here out of time, Jeff, we have the first time someone comes on the show, we have 7 questions that we like to ask.
All right.
This is your time to shine. The first thing that comes to your head, you know, there's no wrong answers on here. What are you most nerdy about?
Most nerdy about? Huh. I feel like that's changed throughout I feel like I could have thought this one out more. Let's see. I used to be big into running, and then comedy happened, and then I became lazy, and I haven't done exercise in the 10 years that I've done stand-up comedy. But that was the first thing that I like knew all of the details about it. That was probably the first thing in my life that I was like, I was nerdy about, that I knew all of the top runners in the nation and what their times were. I was almost like the assistant coach of my high school team, basically, where like I would know the splits of things that, you know, most of the kids didn't really care about. I was interested in those details. Then comedy happened and that completely went away and I forgot all of that information. I was nerdy for Pokemon Go for a while. I was a big Pokemon Go fan. I'm not ashamed of it. We need to stop shaming the Pokemon Goers. Let's see. Then that went away. I used to be big into video games, but now I'm more addicted to my phone that I've just shifted some of those games over to my phone. So now I'm like addicted to playing Call of Duty Mobile. Because it looks exactly the same as Call of Duty. It's just on your phone. And I'm like, I can't play video games whenever I want normally, but now I can. I'm a dick. So I don't know. I'm all over the place. But if I had to pick a thing like ever, I wouldn't say that I'm the most, that this doesn't apply now, but yo-yos. I used to be big into yo-yos. I did yo-yo tournaments. And then then Michigan. This is the weird story. The reason that I stopped doing yo-yos is because all of the stores that sold yo-yos, all the kiosks in the mall, they just decided to go to Ohio one day. That's it. That's it. That's the story. That's how my hobby ended. I was going out. My mom would drop me off at the mall and I was all excited. And I'd like go be a part of like all these little tournaments and these little groups at the mall. And then they were just like, yeah, now it's the Cinnabon. Now it does. Now it's not there. They were making money. They didn't care. They just went to Ohio. So that's how yo-yos ended, at least in Michigan during my childhood, was that they didn't sell them anymore at the mall. And that was where most of that's where people would bought them at.
That feels like an amazing indie film.
Yeah.
Like a great coming of age story.
Yeah.
Do it, please. I'd so watch it.
Your yo-yo in hand and there's a Cinnabon.
Right. Seriously, there is gold there.
That has to be a callback from something earlier where he hated Cinnabon. Right.
The based on the true story part where I just changed the whole rest of the story is like I run away from my family and I move to Ohio to still pursue my yo-yo dream.
Okay. What's something that you love to eat?
Pizza. Never changed. My favorite food was pizza when I was a kid. And then I went vegetarian for a year and I was like, that's fine. You can have cheese pizzas with a whole bunch of different vegetables. And then during that time, I would accidentally just experiment on, you know, if I'm making my own pizzas anyways, I would try like vegan different cheeses. Then I found the ones that I liked. And then I was like, wow, if you make your own food, this is how little of making my own food I ever did in my life, is that this was a profound thought to me that I was like, do you know if you make your own food, you can make it however you want. Fucking crazy. You can really do that. You can mix hot sauce in your pizza sauce because you're an adult and you're allowed to do that. Yeah, like I never thought of that. I never thought of just like I was a picky eater, but then I was too lazy to make my own food. So I would just be frustrated in my head and not do anything about it. And, but now I love making vegan pizza. Do that all the time. Probably like once a week, I'm making my own vegan pizza.
That's awesome.
And you make the dough and everything.
Not the dough. That's the next step. I buy the dough and then I just put the cheese in the sauce.
Oh, so not too time consuming.
It's really easy. No. Pizza dough is really easy. You can do it.
Yeah. I'll look into it. That's the next step.
What's something that you love to drink?
Something that I love to drink. Lately we've been making our own tea, just making our own like cold tea, iced tea, you could even call it. I don't know why I called it cold tea. Like it's a new thing. It's tea, but it's cold. Iced tea, I've been getting into that. But I never had, for alcohol, I never had a go-to drink. When people would be like, get me, you know, people like, what's your go-to drink? And I'm like, I don't know. There's too many factors. There's price. I don't know. I've been too into, I think I'm too indecisive as a human to have go-to answers for questions that other people just have. And I think that when I was a kid, my favorite pop was like Sprite. And then I just stopped drinking pop. And then I think, you know, I don't have to, it's hard for me to come up with favorites on things other than pizza.
Okay.
I need to find out about this iced tea. How do you make your iced tea?
Not good. We're just learning. I just learned a few days ago what simple syrup was. We were putting sugar in and mixing it around like it was Kool-Aid. So we are new.
But like, do you use loose leaf? Like a loose leaf?
Yeah.
Or like tea? Like,
yeah. Like, so we take the loose leaf tea. So we'll buy... So there's all these different kinds of tea that she bought. I learned how to do a thing after Esther finds an easier way to do it. So she does all the work into researching what's good. And then I just learn how to make it after she does all the hard work. But so there's all these different loose leaf teas that I've like mixed around with what, you know, mix and match in some of the different stuff. And we found how much like lemon and lime juice. We have like a lemon squeezer and we'll squeeze a whole bunch of lemon and lime, which I'm finding you can put on anything and make it taste better. Like I used to think hot sauce made everything taste better, but it's also lemon or lime. Like ramen noodles, put some lemon or lime, squeeze like a whole lemon in your ramen noodles. There's no reason to eat at a restaurant. That tastes better than any fancy noodles I've ever had. Yeah. It's just ramen noodles with lemon on it. Changes everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've done the loose leaf and mixed different kinds. And then we just now learned the basics of how sugar works and never thought about that before. And so, we're making the simple syrup so you don't have to spin it or it just goes in the water. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
That does sound pretty good. I know we're moving on, but I'm just saying because you said you don't do it well. And I'm like, that sounds like a whole,
Because I had no idea how I never thought of like sugar at all. It's I just always have some friends that know way more than me. So then I don't know if their knowledge is common knowledge and I'm stupid by comparison, or are they just smart and nerdy about things? So like a friend of mine came over and he was just like, so wait, you didn't put sugar in this? And I was like, no, we were just going to mix it. You just mix it after with how much sugar you want. And he's just like, no, you don't mean like just like Kool-Aid, right? And I'm like, yeah, actually, exactly like Kool-Aid. And he's like, why don't you just make, simple syrup? And then the water will just, you just boil water and then you put the sugar in and then it melts and whatever. And I'm like, I never thought of that. Never thought of that. I don't know what you're talking about. And I still don't really know what he's talking about.
He wasn't a bartender?
He makes the simple syrup at home and just gave it to me. So I still haven't had to make it myself yet. But it does make it way easier than constantly stirring the drink the entire time that you're drinking it before every sip. It's a lot more work involved.
Yeah.
But I got used to doing it like that. So, all right. Never mind.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
What kind of music do you love?
Music do I love? I pretty much don't listen to... Okay, so my life of music was weird, I think. Because I think as a kid, I cared too much what other people thought. So then admitting that you like any certain kind of music is just like, this is a thing people can make fun of you about. So I, as a kid, I didn't really like listen to that much music. So I just felt like I was playing catch up to music. And there was so much music I didn't know because I would just call that like white people music because I grew up in Detroit. And so then I just was exposed mainly to just rap and hip hop. And that was like the only thing I knew. And everything that wasn't rap and hip hop was just white people shit. There was two kinds of music, rap and hip hop, white people shit. And that was it to me. And then, so then I started to learn more kinds, but I pretty much just don't listen to country. And, I words distract me. Like I listen to the music and I feel like some people, their favorite song, they don't even know what the fuck it's about. I get distracted by the lyrics of a song. So like for me, if I'm like doing work, then I'll listen to there's a variety of different music that I'll listen to as long as it doesn't have like words in it. Just like instrumentals will help me think through getting work done. And then if I'm relaxing, then I'll listen to, but mainly just rap and hip hop would be, I might got some random favorite artists that I'll cycle through, but I still feel like there's so much shit that I feel late to it. I feel like I meet somebody else that likes rap and hip hop. And then they're just like, they would quiz me on it and I would just feel inferior of like, whoa, I'm not an expert. Okay. These are the five people I listen to. Yeah.
Right. What do you love to create?
Right now I love to create videos. I love to create, to find a way to make stuff that I find interesting, funny. And sometimes it's just interesting or neither, but the goal is for me to try to take things, whether in stand-up or in creating my own like online content, is the things that I would think about, just of whether problems in life or interesting things in life, that I would normally just take up my day thinking about these things, trying to find a way to explain it in a humorous way, one way or the other. And right now that I've been putting a lot more time into learning how to do video editing. So that's kind of the things that I like to create at the moment.
What's a game you love to play?
A game I love to play is Call of Duty Mobile. Okay. No, that's what I'm loving. I'm nerdy. I think that's what is what I'm the nerdiest in. I even watch like online like YouTube videos of like children explaining to me secrets of it. Yeah, I think that's when you're nerdy is when you subscribe to like a 16-year-old kid who's got like a million, 1.5 million subscribers, and he's just teaching you about this video game on your phone, and you're like, I think that's a nerd.
I'd agree. Okay, last question. In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
What I want to be remembered for? What do I want to be remembered for? I feel like I have to ask a phone a friend and be like, what do you think I want to be remembered for? I think I want, because what I would at least encourage, I think I like, it comes off as preachy and it sounds weird, but that I cared. I think that people should just try to force themselves without judgment towards people who care less, because we all come from different places and different people that we meet in different life circumstances. So I don't think that we should necessarily negatively judge somebody for not caring as much as you do about, you know, whether it be race or whatever. But I think that we should all challenge ourselves to kind of care a little bit more, because as technology advances and life becomes easier in so many ways, whether Postmates and Uber and like, there's so many ways that life has gotten so much easier that I think that we forget to think about people other than ourselves, especially as Americans. So I'd love to just kind of be remembered as, at the very least, of like, he gave a shit.
I Jeff love Horst, it.
He gave a shit. I think
Full
that would
circle
be
with your mug.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's great. Great answer. Jeff Horst, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Wonderful, wonderful to talk to you again.
Absolutely.
Let's not make it 7 years again, or however long it's been. But great. Thank you. Black and a half. Live long, live long, and prosper, and prosper, and prosper, and prosper.